I'm Mackenzie Jacob. I've come to this church my entire life, which is almost 22 years. My father is an elder in this church, and my grandfather helped build this church, which is one of my favorite things to say about our family, because that's really awesome. This is a beautiful building and a beautiful body. I also sing on the worship team with three of my sisters, and I help in the nursery every once in a while. If this is your first time here, I want to welcome you. I hope you enjoyed worship. I certainly did. It was very good. And then I want to just talk about kind of what the church has been doing over the summer and then mainly this month of October. The elders gave people in our body the opportunity to give their testimonies. So every week someone else has come forward and shared the things that have happened in their lives and how it's affected them and how amazing God has been to them and the miracles that has gone on. And then particularly over the month of October, the young adults were given the opportunity to completely lead the service, which was also a scary task, I guess you could say, exciting also. I gave announcement a couple times, which I had a note in here to say that I was the best announcer this church ever had. So if you didn't know, I'm the best. Then it's Lexi, then it's Steve. so now you know. But yeah, we had the honor to lead, be put in their shoes. And that's another reason why I wanted to thank them, just because it is not easy. Sometimes you don't know what to do and you just have to trust God, and it always works out when you trust him. We've all been sharing our testimonies, and that's one of the main things I really wanted to talk about today. Before I do that, I want to pray real quick. Okay, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming here today. Thank you for being in our presence so that we can rest in yours. God, I pray for peace of mind. I pray that your words come through me to touch the people that are in this building right now and the people watching on Zoom. God, I pray that with the next however long I go for, if even one person receives what you want them to receive, this is all worth it. Dear Jesus, I pray, amen. Next thing I wanted to do was to thank everyone who did give their testimony, because that is a very vulnerable thing to do, and I've personally been blessed by all of you, except for my brother-in-law, John Merritt. No, I'm just kidding. You blessed me too. Okay. So, whenever I try to write a word, because I've spoken once before, I try to do it and I try to understand what I'm saying. So in order to understand what I'm saying, I needed to look up what testify meant, and that was where I started. So testify means a spoken or written word or record of what God has done. And then if you look up the word for testify in the Hebrew, you'll find one of the root words is UWD. I think you say it UD. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. But that's what I found. And it means to return, go about, repeat, do again. So I'm going to focus on why we testify, why we as children of God testify. And my first point to why we testify is to breed opportunity for God to do it again. Okay, what do I mean by that? Let's go to John 12:28. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven, saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. Okay, so when we testify, what does it do? It brings glory to God. When we share what God has done in our lives, it glorifies God. And when we testify, it makes where other people can hear what God has done. In Revelations 19:10, it says, "For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." Don't know about you, but that confused me when I read it. Did not make much sense to me. I really needed to go look it up. So I did, and I took my mother's recommendation. I listened to a message by Bill Johnson on testimonies and the spirit of prophecy. And if you're curious, I'll explain it a little bit here too, but if you're really curious about it, I'd recommend you looking up Bill Johnson on testimony and or spirit of prophecy. It's really good. It is really a blessing. But when I looked that up, what I found was that the spirit of prophecy is spreading what God has done, so it will be done again. And then you can go back to that Hebrew word, ud, which means to do again. So to breed opportunity for God to do it again is sharing your testimony. When you say, "God healed my shoulder," guess what someone hears? "God can heal my shoulder." Guess what that just did? It made the atmosphere. It put people in the position to know God can heal them, and it made the room pregnant with the idea of him doing it again. When you share what God's done for you, it can be done again. It will be done again. God promised to do it again. If you go to James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning." So God's never changing. He will do it again. He can do it again. And he's promised that. So when we share what he's already done, we now know he can do it again, and he's promised to do it again. So we need to share what he's done in our lives, the miracles that he's done in our lives, and then it can breed the opportunity for God to do it again. My next point for why do we testify, or why do we as children of God testify, is to reveal Jesus through our life experiences. We can turn to John 4:39 through 42. If those of you who don't know, this is the story of the woman at the well. If you were here a week or two ago, Aubrey shared about her right before worship, and it was really good. I see you looking at me. Yeah, it was really good, and when you were saying it and I was behind you, I was like, I'm going to speak about this a little bit, and that's just really cool to me. But okay, John 4:39 through 42. "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. He stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" So, sharing our testimonies allows a seed to be planted in people's minds. I firmly believe that everyone is missing something if they don't have God. And everyone knows they're missing something if they don't have God. And some people try to fill that with other things in the world, as in drugs, alcohol. One big thing is identity. I've seen a ton of my generation be so focused on who they are because they think that's gonna fill this void in them. Whatever they feel they are, that means they're good. And that's not it. Your identity lies with God. And everyone knows that. And you can't be filled without him. He is the thing that will fill the void in your life. And if you ever chase anything else, you'll just keep trying to get more and more of it, because it won't fill what he has for you. Another thing that I thought of with this was a lot of people, when they tell me a testimony, I left this in for you. Yeah, for you. Because you told me it was good. But when people share their testimony, I always think it's cool because they'll go through all this hardship throughout their childhood. They'll say, this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me, and now I'm here, and I get to look back and see where God was throughout all of it. And it's not until they looked that they saw Jesus was there. And when you look, that's when you find where God is. That's when Jesus is revealed throughout your whole life. Because God is always there, regardless if you're seeing him or not. That's why we do reveal Jesus through our life testimonies. The woman, she knew he was God because he said everything she ever did. Everyone else was just curious by what she said. They were like, what? Jesus? That's really cool. Okay, I want to know more. Then they met Jesus. And they were like, yep, you're right. That's God. That is God. He was revealed to them through her testimony. And then we can all know him. And then we can share our testimony and keep revealing more to others. Your experiences show the favor of the Lord in your life. And that creates a culture that people are drawn to. Anytime someone's sharing about God, it makes me want more. Anytime someone's sharing about God, I want more. The worship, when I see someone run up to their feet up here, multiple people did it today, that makes me want to worship more. Doesn't make me jealous of them, because I can have it too. So all I have to do is seek him. I will seek first your kingdom. I was thinking about that a lot. I was worshiping and I was like, I will seek first your kingdom and you will provide everything I need. So why am I thinking about what I need after church? Why am I thinking about lunch? Why do I want food? I don't need to worry about it. I just need to seek you. I think about food a lot. I'm sorry. When we testify, it allows people to see God's heart. It allows people to see God's heart for us. And that's how he's revealed to our lives. I have this verse on my wall. It's Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans. Wait, what was it? What was it? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, does God change? No. So what does God have for you? Hope and a future. He promises that. And that's your testimony. And that's his heart. And when you tell someone, yeah, God brought me out of the pit. God brought me out of the valley. He brought me out of the darkness. Other people know he can do that too, because he doesn't change. He's good, and his heart is revealed to you on how good he is, on how much he loves you, because he does love you more than you could ever understand or know. That's often why I believe people cry during worship, because his love is so overwhelming. It's hard to not cry when you feel his love, because it's like nothing else. Okay, my point three of why do we testify? This is to encourage and inspire other believers to go out and do the same. I was looking into a man named Joseph. Now, that probably doesn't, you're probably thinking of a different person when I say Joseph. I actually mean someone who people gave him the name of Barnabas. And the reason they gave him this name was because it meant son of encouragement. Barnabas, his personality, who he was just so encouraging and inspiring to other people that he got the name. Wouldn't that be incredible? I want people to think I'm just so encouraging. They're like, you know, I'm going to call you Barnabas now. If you want to call me Barnabas, go ahead. I really would not care. That'd be pretty cool. I mean, Mackenzie means daughter of a wise leader, so I think he meant more of that for him. But Barnabas would be awesome too. And if you didn't know, Barnabas encouraged someone, you might know who he is, Paul. And if you don't know Paul, Paul wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament. He was a Christian leader who used to be a pretty bad guy, used to murder people, Christians in particular. And he had a radical life change, and Barnabas helped him through that. And Barnabas introduced him to the other apostles who were concerned about Paul, whose name was Saul at the time. They didn't know if he would be right for it. They're like, he used to murder our kind. Why would we want him to preach for us? That's kind of odd. But Barnabas encouraged him. Barnabas encouraged his lifestyle. That's why a testimony isn't only sharing, you know, what the miracles God's done in your life. It is sharing those things, but it's not only that. A testimony is also how you live and how you love one another. The Bible says in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So how do we love one another? When you go out, do people sense who you are just because of how you love and encourage them? I just want you to think about that, because even sometimes when I'm working, I'm like, man, I can be nicer. I can be happier. Now, I'm not saying I'm being mean, but you could always be more like God. Why aren't we chasing that? The world will know God by our love for one another. The way we live shows the world who God is. So live for God. Live in God. One thing I always remembered was when John Merritt and I worked at this diner downtown called Frank's Diner. If you know it, you know it. There was this man there. I won't say his name, but he was not a Christian. It was an older gentleman who had been working kind of on and off there for a long time. And he pulled me aside one day, and he was like, Kenzie, can I tell you something real quick? And he said, you have something about you. He said, are you religious? And I was like, I barely talked to this dude. He was like, are you religious? And I was like, well, yeah, I was raised Pentecostal. I believe in relationship with God. I love God. Go to church every Sunday. It's been my whole life. And he was like, I could just tell. It's like, you and that Johnny boy. That's what they all called him there, Johnny. But Johnny boy, I could tell. Like, you guys have this aura. He's like, I respect you for it. It's like, I don't believe in all that, but I respect you for it. And I still think about that to this day, because no one's ever told me that before. Usually people are a little put off by my personality, which I don't know what I do to deserve that. I think I'm funny and charming, but currently you all do too. But yeah, that'll always stick with me, because I'm like, wow, someone can tell that I love God. And I want everyone to look at me and know I love God. And I want them to know how much God loves them through the way I love others. And I want to put others first. Okay, going to go into my last point of why do we testify. It's to bring about transformation in one's heart. If you look up Acts 2:36-37, and then we'll jump to 40-41. Therefore, let all Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and asked Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? With many other words, Peter testified, and he urged them, be saved from this corrupt generation. Those who embraced his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to believers that day. It is a choice to receive the testimonies that we hear. You can listen to someone's word and be like, yeah, yeah, cool, cool. Jesus saved you, whatever. But no one can receive them if we don't share them. Nothing can be received if it isn't shared, if it isn't given. You can't eat if there's no food in front of you. I told you I think about food a lot. So you can't eat if there's no food in front of you. There's no nourishment. There's nothing that you can grab onto if it isn't given. But isn't it worth trying to save even one? This was Peter talking to the crowd right after Pentecost, after the tongues of fire, after all these things. He went out and testified, and it says about 3,000. That's a lot of people. We have probably, 100 or so in here? That's 3,000. People were added. It says that they were cut to the heart when they were told, they crucified. Literally says, whom you crucified, he's your Lord and Savior. And they instantly said, what can we do? I want to be saved. What can I do? I want to be changed. Also think about Jonah. He was very against saving Nineveh. He did not want to do it. He ran away from God. He eventually did it, may have had a bad attitude after it. But if he wouldn't have gone, I looked this up. 120,000 people would have been punished if Jonah didn't warn them. 120,000 people. And that was a place that everyone thought was so corrupt they couldn't turn back. They were gone. They were goners. They were just so bad. There was nothing worse they could do. They deserved hellfire, brimstone. But God saw them. God loved them. And he said, no, they deserve me. Because everyone deserves me. I love everyone. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. All the same. He's not going to pick Briley and say, screw John. He wants them together. I just want to remind everyone to not take your testimony and your life for granted. Don't take it for granted. Because just because you think you haven't been through enough, I've been raised in the church a lot. A lot of times people will be like, you don't have a testimony. I mean, you were a Christian your whole life. You didn't go through that. You didn't go through this. That means nothing to me. I have a testimony. Jesus saved my life. I am now not a sinner because of God. Don't take for granted your life and your testimony just because you think or someone else says it's not good enough. Because you can never tell me that God hasn't done amazing things and that he hasn't done anything worth sharing. And I know we can all agree with that. Your testimony is powerful. And I want to thank everyone again who shared a testimony. I'd like to call up our prayer team. We've been talking about testimony for a long time now. And it's powerful. And your life and your story will change hearts because God is there. I'm going to ask anyone who feels like they need prayer for boldness to be able to testify and live within the testimony of Jesus to come forward and get at prayer by our young adults prayer team. And if you feel blessed already, I want to bless you and tell you to have an amazing day. Thank you. This is the end of my message. So again, come for prayer, for boldness to be able to testify and live within the testimony of Jesus Christ. Thank you.